Welcome to the Garden Girls Podcast with Amanda Thompson and Michelle Gervais. I'm Amanda, a garden designer, thing finder, Chicagoan, and the author of the books Kiss My Aster and Backyard Adventure. You can find me online at kissmyaster.com.
And I'm Michelle, garden writer, editor, and sci-fi junkie in northwestern Connecticut, and the author of the Design Your Garden Toolkit book and sticker kit. You can find me online at gardenygoodness.com. Amanda and I are both opinionated, rabid Gen X gardeners, avid thrifters, busy moms, and lazy bloggers.
Be sure to visit us on the Garden Girls Podcast Facebook page for alerts of new episodes and photos we promise along the way.
Thanks for taking the time to listen.
And thank you for being a friend.
Now on to the newest episode.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, welcome back to the Garden Girls Podcast. It's November, episode 4, Experimentation, with a guest that we are so excited about.
We're so excited.
Fangirling alert. I'm going to have to insert a sound for fangirling. What is the sound of fangirling?
Oh, gosh. Not an explosion. It's squealing girls at an old NSYNC concert.
Is there a siren for fangirling? Is there like a special...
As long as the siren has glitter.
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume you have all your bulbs planted?
No, I do not. No, they're sitting in my guest room, still in their boxes. No.
How has the weather been in Connecticut?
It just got really cold, and I tried to go outside. Well, I didn't just try. I did. We went out yesterday, and we raked up a ton of stuff and cut a lot of stuff back. And halfway through, I'm like, I'm cold. Hold me inside.
Hold
and
me.
And Kaya was the same way. She's like, I'm going inside. So it's supposed to warm up again this week, and we're going to get our bulbs in. But you have snow.
We have had snow. We have had terrible weather here in Chicago since just before Halloween. It has been incredibly cold. The ground is a couple, like an inch, I would say, frozen. We've had hard freezes. We've gotten down into the teens already, like the low teens. It's been dramatic, and I have gotten all my bulbs, all my plants in the ground. I think this is the first year in my life. I have like three plants I haven't gotten in the ground, but they're iffy at best. Like, and I have them there. I threw them in my compost heap, like on to be so that they're like warmed by the compost. Have you ever done that?
No.
So I threw them on the top of a compost heap, I have an auxiliary compost heap, and surrounded them with leaves and compost. And they should, if they're alive at all, which again, dicey to begin with, threw them in there so that they should be fine if they
nice.
Are. Yeah. But I mean, I've never been ahead of the game, like in all of gardening. And if I may do this plug for myself.
Exactly. You have motivation.
I think the motivation was making these videos that I've been making. Like, exactly. I'm like, if I'm going to walk the walk, I better like just be on it.
Plus it's just, you know, I got to get it on video. I'm going to have,
my friend Carrie dropped
Wait,
off.
Remind everyone what this is. Remind everyone about your TV show.
Oh, Mud Life Crisis. It's on the Kiss My Aster YouTube channel, and it's everywhere. I'm sharing it on IGTV. I'm doing everything I can because I'm kind of obsessed with it.
It's
the
awesome.
First one had thousands of views.
Really?
And the second one, yes. The second one I'm struggling with a little bit. People, I think it might have been too long, but when I break them down, they get tons of views, and I'm just
so much
happy making them. Yeah, it's like, a couple years ago, I had the idea of making like a Venn diagram of my passions, and my passion's definitely gardening,
yeah.
But it's also definitely like absurd humor. And the other circle intersection was vintage clothing. And I was like, well, I don't know how to work all three of those in together. Maybe I'll just work on the humor and the absurd humor. I mean, the absurd humor and the horticulture for a while and figure out a way to work in the vintage clothing someday.
Right.
I figured it out.
It works.
Yes. So
I spend half my time when I'm watching you admiring your dress.
Thank you.
So.
It's and it's fun to like walk these clothes out that don't sometimes get a chance.
Yeah.
So, my friend Carrie gave me a giant carload full of like extra trees and stuff that she found at work. And I didn't want to let her down by not getting those trees in the ground. So mm-hmm. I didn't, it's like everything that I've done in my garden wasn't for me. It was like because I didn't want to let other people down, which is something that I'm going to need to talk about in therapy.
Well, I had to confess to someone just last night. We went out to drinks with friends, and I had to confess to her that a plant that she gave me over the summer died. I'm like, you know that plant you gave me, the one you dug up so carefully and put in a pot and put in your car and drove over to my house and handed off to me? Yeah, it's dead. Luckily, she's not offended. She's like, I've got lots more.
That's good, because so, people don't expect that from us.
No, they don't. They think we're good. You know, we're not putting things in good hands. They're not. No. The dog has decided that she wants to be on me.
Of course she has. Gosh. That's why the door is closed here.
Oh, I took her collar off, but you're going to hear her climbing all over me.
That's okay. So, okay. Can we talk about your accent?
Yeah, let's talk about my accent. So, I was raised by two New Jerseyans in a rural area of southwestern Virginia. And Rob and I moved to New York State in 1995. And I thought all these things had canceled each other out and I had escaped really having an accent. But I've been listening to our episodes and that is not the case.
Well, and I'll also tell you that I don't often think you have an accent. But when you're talking about your accent, I can really hear the South in you. Yes.
Well, I know I say a few words funny because my family makes fun of me for the way I say food. And bury, you know, when you bury a bulb, I say bury, not bury.
That's weird.
Yeah, I'm constantly made fun. Food is the big thing. I say food. Well, I say food, and they say no, say it the real way, and I try, and I say food. Food. Is that how you're saying it? No. But I thought that was pretty much the only case. But wow, I also noticed that I chuckle a lot and I say yup a lot. Yeah, I find you funny, but enough is enough, and I have to work on that.
It's cute. I mean, I don't notice. We should probably address that the app that we use to make our podcast is a great, simple, easy to use app, but sometimes the delay is a little bit weird. So yeah. It sounds like we're talking on top of each other, which is not the case usually.
I know the first time I listened to one of our episodes, the gap was so that I would say something and there was a big pause and then you would talk and it sounded like you were like, oh my God, what did she just say?
I was like, was I sounding really stupid? And there's one that where I'm like laughing at what you said before you finished saying it, but that's not how it really happened. So and
yeah, I also clued into using a headset this week. So hopefully I don't sound half the volume of you this week.
Yeah, sometimes. Yes. Thank you. It's not because I'm extra. I mean, I am extra loud, but we'll get this thing together. You know, the better, the more, well, speak for yourself.
Oh yeah, I'm old. You are not. We established
my neck. I've got to do something about my neck. But anyways, the more people who listen to this podcast, the more we can grow and get better at how we do these things right now.
Exactly.
It's a free app while I'm locked in a bedroom with all the baskets of clean laundry and you are stuck with a beagle on your lap. And we're just going to do this when we can do this. And like, it's Sunday morning and tomorrow we go back to work and
And the pellet stove is still running. I turned it off. The fan is still running. So if you hear a fan in the back, it's my stupid pellet stove.
Can't hear it. So we should talk. I also have an accent. I'm sure you know
that. Oh, yeah. You are firmly Midwestern.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chicago accent, which is within Chicago limits, I don't have a very Chicago-y accent. Like there are people who you're like, whoa. But like, you with food, I am with pants.
Pants. What? How do you say it?
Pants.
Pants. Pants.
It's like a pants, you know?
Pants.
Pants. I don't always
spell
say it.
You spell it P-A-Y-E-N-T-S. Pants.
I don't always say it that bad, but that's one of my worst Chicago words. Like, hey, go get your pants on. Pants.
I don't know if I would have noticed that. It's not
if there's like a nasal in the N that's just so Chicago. But
interesting.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, I always thought the Midwestern accent was just something you saw on TV. And then one time I went to Minnesota and I went to the Arboretum there and I was in the Welcome Center. And I said, is that the way I get out to the garden? Oh, yeah, you betcha.
They really do it. It's so cute. And it's
adorable.
It is. And it's down in Wisconsin, too, which I try to spend as much time in Wisconsin as possible. It is just the greatest state. I'm in love with it. I have so much respect for this like kooky agricultural, like they have so much heart state and they do a lot of, oh yeah, you betcha there too.
And who wouldn't be nice if you ate cheese all the time?
and custard, frozen custard. Yeah. They have hot and cold running frozen custard, which I don't know how you do that. It's already frozen. And what the cheese curds. No, I'm kidding. What? I'm totally kidding.
Oh my God, you got me.
They have cheese curds. Cheese curds everywhere.
Have you ever had the German thing, right? Yes, I have, because we had a German restaurant here for a while that I loved.
I didn't even know that they were German.
They had cheese curds.
I thought it was just a cheese thing.
No, it was the most amazing thing ever.
All right, let's keep moving this thing along.
Yeah, let's.
Yes, it is not even Thanksgiving, but it's time to start about next year's garden. And while this year is fresh on our minds, we can think about what worked and what bombed and what we want to try next year.
Yeah, I'm happy that it's winter. Yeah, I like that everything shuts down and I can just,
go back inside. I love that my garden is dead. I freaking love it. I have so many interests that I can just turn, I can just be like, hey, y'all are dead now. I'm going to go read a book, catch up on the laundry I haven't put away for 4 months.
Close the door, curl up on the couch.
Light some candles. I am so into hygge.
Yeah.
I'm like,
is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so. It's hygge. Hygge.
Hygge?
I'm so into it. Like, I've never needed a name for it, but I've always like, I've got a lot of Scandinavian blood. I'm like, this is me. Like, I really love seasons changing. Yeah, I love winter. I'm like, shut the door and let's just, you know, I can turn off the garden in a minute. Not a problem.
Yeah. But the person we're having on today doesn't do that.
That's not her style. Okay. So should we, let's get her on the program.
Just talk to you as well. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, so we need to introduce her.
Yes. Okay. How do we even, like, this is, here's the fangirling noise going on.
Oh, yeah,
on.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I paid you to say that. That's cool.
I can't wait to find out how we're paying for that.
Yeah, exactly. How much?
So welcome to our show, Nikki Jabor.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here. Yay. I am your biggest fan, as you know.
We are your biggest fan. Oh. I would I was just in the part that I said I was going to edit out. I was like, Nikki is so professional. She's been emailing me about this since the crack of not even dawn, pre-dawn. What time do you wake up, Nikki? Do you not sleep?
Well, yes, I sleep 8 hours at least a night, but honestly, we're time difference. I'm an hour ahead of you.
But I mean, sure.
Well, so am I.
Yeah, but you also sent me an email like 5:30 in the morning. Or, did I really? You know, so, oh my gosh. Yeah. Or maybe
it's
even
Sunday,
earlier.
Woman.
Than that.
Yeah. Sleep in.
I think I slept in today a little bit, and then I went out for a little freezing cold walk and back to do a bit of gardening. And look, I mean, perfect day so far. I'm talking to you,
Amanda,
guys.
Amanda,
you're so beautifully Canadian.
Did she just say oat? Did she just say
she
out?
Did. Sorry, I forgot. Okay. I'm talking to Americans. Out. I went out.
Oh, no. We just talked about accents. We talked about my Southern accent and Amanda's.
We talked about her
accent.
Southern accent and my Chicago accent. It's Chicago. Okay.
And, I'm like, well, you know, when I come Chicago. To the U.S. and when I travel to the U.S. and I give talks, I do adjust my accent usually. I forget, though. I do. I go south
because
and I go
you're
out.
Not fully Canadian.
Oh, I'm fully Canadian.
But didn't you live here for a while?
Well, I did, but I'm from Halifax, Nova Scotia. So I live in my hometown. But yeah, I did live in Louisville, Kentucky. Right. And I say it right.
Louisville. Yeah, you do. Say Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah. You have some American capabilities. You're bilingual.
Well, you know, living in Louisville was awesome. Everybody there was so nice.
It's such a beautiful area.
Right? Yeah, it was awesome. And I wish we lived in an apartment, unfortunately, at the time. So I balcony garden. But if I could have grown stuff in the ground there, holy smokes, I could have grown.
You could have grown anything there.
It would have been amazing.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah. But this waking up and going for a walk is really cute.
It's adorable. I don't even have a dog. So I can't say it's because I have a dog.
I thought it was just like a Canadian thing. Like we wake up at the crack of dawn and we put our crampons on. And how is the weather right now?
Kind of sucks, okay? But to be fair, it has been warmer than you guys slightly because I'm on the East Coast surrounded by the water, so it's more temperate. But you know what? This is a really early freeze up for us. It's minus, I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit. It's minus 15
Thank
this morning.
Thank you for doing the
Canadian
translation.
Celsius.
Wait, is that Celsius?
That's Celsius. So Fahrenheit is probably like, it's probably like 18.
Yeah,
here,
okay.
We've had
that.
It's cold. Yeah. And that's unusual. Normally it's probably like, you know, 35 to 45 every day
in November.
This time
yeah,
of year
we're
here.
The same way in Connecticut. Yeah. We're pretty cold right now. We're having a cold snap, but normally in November, it's probably, you know, 35. But I was looking up Halifax, Nova Scotia, you know, because I always envision it as this super cold place. It's pretty normal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar to New York City, say, or Boston. Like, Boston is sort of like our sister city. Yeah. So whatever you get in Boston comes up here like 24 hours later, and that's our weather.
And it's because you're on the water. Yeah. You're moderated. Yeah.
I can see the water if I jump really high on, like, my roof. Yeah. Oh. But I don't, because that would not be smart.
You need a widow's walk.
Yeah.
So has this cold weather caught you off guard? Like, are you behind? You
know, I'm prepared for it.
Yes.
I'm not behind. I still have some things I want to do, but it's going to thaw out, like, tomorrow for the next couple days. So I'm cool with it. But yeah, I still have, my beds are covered, my winter beds. I've got some things deep mulched. I have more to deep mulch. You know, the polytunnel's full of vegetables, but I just have some, you know, I want to empty more pots out and store them for the winter. And, you know, I have a few little things like that to do, but
those
I'm
are
ready.
The things that you, know, you can you do for ready. Like if, a warm up anytime.
Exactly. And I still have more garlic.
I do too. Oops. Oh, I don't tell Michelle that. Oh, good. That's the one thing. Oh.
Well, we should say that Nikki is so most famous for being a year round gardener.
Oh,
so you don't
yeah,
stop.
We should. We didn't really. We jumped right in. I didn't give her the full introduction.
Yeah,
Nikki is, and can I don't. Nikki is the author of like some of the only garden books I own, which is really bad considering there's three garden book authors on here, and one of them is The Year Round Gardener. Then there's Veggie Garden Remix, and the other one that I'm in, and I don't remember the name of right now, just because I'm on the spot and it's like sitting.
Groundbreaking food gardens,
which sorry about that. It's even written here in front of me. I'm just excited. And the year-round vegetable gardener is one of the only books that every gardener absolutely has to have on their shelf. Gardening books are hard to, it's hard to write. I'm going to use this again, groundbreaking stuff, but this book is like, oh, you look through it and you're like, ah, I thought, what? Yeah. Like,
she's in Canada.
Like, the whole book is like, huh? And
that's the best review.
Right.
I've ever
even
had.
Even people who are seasoned so gardeners, yes, and buy it now. And here's a button. The whole, you turn the page and you're like, So it's a bestseller. It's a big deal. If you don't have, I own two copies. One I loan out, and one I keep. And I can't find either, so I probably loaned them both out. They're really it's just a really eye opening book that changed the way I garden.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, you guys are you know you're gods to me. Oh, so I
what?
Mean, to hear you say
what?
That is so sweet.
What?
So sweet.
What?
Oh my God. Yes. Well, yes. And I finally got to meet Amanda in person.
That's what and we I just, missed you, you know, just barely in Boston a couple of years ago. I think we spoke once one after another, and I was such a wreck that day because I don't speak very often that I bolted as soon as I was done. And Rob, my husband to this day, is like, you didn't get to meet Nikki. It's all your fault. It's all your fault.
Okay. The fact that your husband knows.
Oh yeah.
Is
we all know you. Well,
okay.
Nikki, you have like 300 billion Instagram followers.
You're just about as famous as you can get as a gardener.
And like, I look around, I'm like, I'm always looking for people to look up to, like why, what are they doing right? What am I doing wrong? Or, you know, I'm looking up to someone and then also like belittling myself, which is part of my Midwestern attitude. And I'm like, I think Nikki's Instagram.
That's very Canadian,
is it really?
Actually.
Midwest self-deprecation. I think your business model on Instagram is to show beautiful, consistent photos and don't say no shit, Sherlock, like I do to people. I think that may have been, that may hurt my, like, that maybe, I may be like shitting where I eat with that. Like,
listen, I was late to come to Instagram too. I was out west doing one of those National Garden Bureau, you know, the All America Selection Garden Tours. And every person who was on it with me, garden writers and garden bloggers, were like, you don't have Instagram? And they were kind of like side eyeing.
Yeah, but look at you now, girl. Like, look at you now.
They shamed me, right? So I joined it. And yeah, I just shared pictures that I like to see from my garden.
And relentlessly nice instead of saying no shit, well, Sherlock, because I will scroll through your comments and you are so relentlessly nice.
Well, I try, and I try to answer comments and notifications
you do.
And things, but you know what? It's out of control at this point in terms of, I can't keep up, and I want to, but then I realize that I would never talk to my kids.
No, you have to stop at some point.
Good.
You've reached
so
that level of fame where you need to just disengage from your public. Oh, I have to say, actually, I mentioned this to Amanda. Nikki, I was on your website, the Savvy Gardening website, yesterday, and a Maserati ad popped up.
Sweet.
How are you? I'm like, what?
Does it say something about Savvy, or does it say something about you because of
it's you, it's not
you
us. Sorry.
Michelle.
Yeah, sorry. That's all
looking
humor
at Maserati.
Oh, no, you're their obviously secret sponsor. Their secret spokesperson.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? It would be hilarious if we did it. You need to do a podcast on just the ads that pop up when you go on websites.
Seriously.
It says so much about us, doesn't it? Kind of scares me, the things that pop up sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Mine is all about wrinkles, so. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Sad. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay, so.
Yeah. But thank you. That was a lovely introduction. And I'm going to play it on repeat on my phone for the next.
Huh? I'm not sure we were completely thorough, but we were very fawning. So that's good.
Oh, well, it was really funny when we photographed Year-End Vegetable Gardener for the big winter shoot, because we shot four times of the year, and it was an American photographer that came up from the South and my editor from Story, Carlene, and they came up for it. And, I wasn't allowed to walk in the garden when the snow happened because they didn't want the
footprints. Yeah.
So I didn't go up for a week and a half before we shot. And then they got the pictures of me walking towards the cold frames and the tunnels in the virgin snow. And I lifted up the cover and they were like, you know what? Everything's going to be dead. This is going to suck. And I was like, just wait. And we lifted up the cover and it was like spring and they did the home. And I'd kind of forgotten about that, but that was so
it's
funny.
True. This book is like, I don't know. It's I believe that you could buy a gardening book from 50 years ago and the information is pretty much just as pertinent as it is today. But your book is
Well, Story is really great in that I don't ever want to write a book that someone else has
written. Yeah.
Same with your books, obviously. Yeah. They're very unique. They're so cool. They make you think, they inspire you. And that's what I love, that they support that. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to write a book that someone else has written. And they're like, okay, what do you want to write about? And I'll pitch ideas. And then, they're brilliant at kind of honing those, my ramblings, and coming up with something that's quite unique. So
yeah. What I found interesting about Story is that they're like, yeah, we love your idea. Write the book. I'm like, well, do you want to give me an outline? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? They're like, no, just write it.
Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, just do whatever you want to do. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Kiss My Aster, that book. There's never and never will be another book.
No,
like
that. And mostly the because they ever lost their asses on it. But
well, yeah.
That's gonna.
Oh my god, no.
I've had other publishers contact me, and they're
their asses
like,
on mine.
Well, I've had other publishers contact me. They're like, we really love your book, but and we'd like to lure you away and have you write for us. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And they're like, but I mean, no lie, we looked at the numbers for Kiss My Aster, and I'm like, well, thank you. That's great. Thank you so much. That's makes me.
We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. This moment has boosted my ego none. So
listen, everybody who has that book uses that book and loves
it. I use that book every page constantly. I give it to new homeowners and young people starting out. I give it all the time.
I don't know how it has sold so poorly and yet I get recognized on the street. I don't know how those two things work out together, but it's
well, let's be honest, the Kiss My Aster brand itself,
it's something going on there, but people recognize the book. So I don't know. Maybe it was a good library book or maybe it gets stolen. I don't know, but
You were 10 years ahead of your time as well.
I think so.
We'll admit to that.
That's what
I will
was.
Admit to that. It was written for millennials. It was written for millennials moving out of their homes. And there were no millennials moving out of their homes 10 years ago.
Exactly.
And not a slam on millennials because I love them. I love them.
I know.
It was a marketing thing. But anyways, let's keep moving on. Yeah. It's all about you.
Move on.
What are you eating What are you eating right now out of your garden?
Oh gosh! Well, how long a time do I have? I've got about a snap. Mic drop. No, I have probably about a dozen varieties of winter lettuces. I'm growing mizunas, mustard, several mustards. So many scallions, turnips, winter radishes, spinach, arugula, bok choy. We finished the peppers and tomatoes just last week. Kind of sad about that. But I still have some hot peppers that have just been lying on my counter. Carrots, beets, herbs, so many herbs as well. There's probably around 20 vegetables but this is, you guys know this too. This is a weird year for me because it's a book photography.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't get to grow what I want to grow. I don't, at the time, we don't even eat right from the garden at this moment.
Right.
Because I have to wait for the winter photo shoot.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, that makes, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not necessarily I would normally have more winter vegetables at this time. Like I don't have leeks right now, for example, just because there wasn't space to grow them because I had to grow things for the book.
It's so hard to do that planning. And it's almost a sacrifice in a way, but it's cool too.
Oh,
it's cool too in its own way. Do you?
It is. Once you get the photos.
Once you get those photos, everything's delicious.
And you can lie on the floor. Yeah, exactly.
And what's the last hold up? I mean, are you redoing lettuce all year? All winter?
Well, no. So, like, so I have enough vegetables now to take us through probably until February, early February. You know, especially the herbs, which I love fresh herbs so much, nonstop, and salad greens. So I have enough of those to take us through February. And then at that point, our day length stretches over 10 hours again. You know, early November, it's below 10 hours that most things stop growing. So I have to have things ready to harvest at that point. And then they just kind of hold in their little season extenders all winter. And then in February, once we get that longer day length, even though it's obviously freezing, I'm starting to sow seeds in any open areas of the cold frame, the polytunnel, if I might, you know, mini tunnels and raised beds. And I'll throw more spinach and more arugula and more mustards and mizunas down. And they grow. And then we have maybe, you know, there's certain things to fill the gap. And then we start harvesting again in usually early mid-April.
I forget that you are in a place where you have longer days and longer nights. You're so much higher than
we can't have longer days and longer nights.
Well, no. But you
depending on the time of year,
Scotia has 27-hour days.
That's our secret here. Well, yeah, and right now it gets dark so damn early. It makes me so sad.
What time is it dark?
Everybody's sad. You know, it's the sun setting probably 5 and then it's dark by 5:30. But I mean, by the time Christmas comes around, you know, end of December and the longest night, you know, we're looking at, you know, it's dark by 4 or something. Yeah. You know, it's, and it sucks, but, you know, it's light early in the morning at least, and it won't last forever, right?
It won't. We hope. I love it.
I mean, I'm into it. I'm just totally like, hey, it's getting dark. That means I can go to bed at 6:30.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like, you know, you come in, you know, it's dark outside. You make dinner, you sit down, you're like, okay, we should, it's bedtime. And it's like, oh, it's 5:49. Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I think that's what our ancestors did. And I'm okay with it. And I go to bed super early and I wake up the second the sun hits the horizon. I'm like, yeah, this is it. Let's do it. And I jump out of.
You might be Canadian. I don't know.
I think I really could be. A like successful Canadian. I think that might be missing. There's a missing piece for me. I don't know what it is, but that maybe that's it. It's moving north.
Well, you're kind, you're sarcastic, and you're, you know, you're self-effacing. So I think that's all you pretty much.
She's halfway there with the accent too.
Yeah, right? Did you hear what I don't like hockey.
Well, okay, don't tell anybody, but we're basketball fans. I don't like hockey.
Oh.
Sorry. All the kids play basketball. You know, we watch basketball. We go to basketball games.
Oh, we're
all
telling
the time.
Everyone.
Wow.
We're Raptors fans. Yeah, sorry.
Wow. I don't even know what a Raptor is other than a dinosaur.
They won the NBA championship in 2019.
That means nothing
NBA
to us.
NBA is men playing basketball, right?
Honestly.
Yeah. That's out of my out of my thing.
I know nothing.
Yeah, I know nothing.
That's all right.
Okay. So, next, you've had a radio show since you were obviously a teenager.
Right.
Was that 11 years now? 12?
12. We had 12. We just wrapped our 12th season. And so, I go dormant for the winter and then I'll come back again in probably late April-ish, I think. We go 7 or 8 months a year, depending on my schedule, really.
I would like to do, like, have you ever seen where they take the audio track from something and then they make, like, a cute cartoon and they use, the real audio, but there's, like, a cartoon.
Yes.
Of, like, you, like, a cartoon you sitting in the studio, but you're a squirrel. Because you are so upbeat on that radio show. It is, like, you are harnessing the energy of the sun. And focusing it into getting to people to garden it. It's just kind of amazing to hear.
Well, you know, it's so much fun. And they used to be, I'm a fast talker.
Especially
when I'm talking to people that I love. There used to be a sign in the radio station the first couple seasons. You know, that said, Nikki, slow the F down. Nobody else needed that sign. It was specifically, my name was on it. It was for me because I get so excited and then I go in ultra fast mode. But you know what? That's just the way it is. I can slow it down sometimes.
But you pack lots of in. That's how you pack lots of information in.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's so much fun now. I get to talk to guys like, you know, you guys. I get to talk to some of my, you know, I remember when I was approaching some of the big gardening names, I was so nervous to ask them to come on this tiny little Nova Scotia radio show. And they were like, sure. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, that's how we felt when you said you would come here.
Sure.
No. He said she would come on the podcast.
Oh my God. I was like, oh my God.
I had a feeling.
Yeah. This is the dream team, man.
I planted the seed last time I was on your show. I was like, we're going to have some guests. Maybe.
Okay. Available.
When I first started doing podcasts 100,000 years ago with Jean Ann,
I love those.
I would set like I had an app, not an app at the time because it was 100 years ago, on my computer. I would set up like a website that was a metronome with the sound off and to help me slow down, because I was just bubbling over. That's it's smart. Really easy to bubble over. But when I'd watch this metronome, it would help me to not do that, because I feel you.
I needed that like 13 years ago when I was starting the radio.
Well, this was like 13 years ago. Yeah, it was.
Well, there you go.
I think it was. I mean, it was at least more. It was more than 10. It was about 13 years ago. So if Hazel's 8 now, and then it took like a year to make her. And then we were podcasting years before that. So, so that was, it was a long time ago. And anyways, so
you guys see 10 years ahead of your time.
I don't know. It was like, I didn't have a job, and Jean Ann was bossy and wanted to give people her advice. So it was a really perfect combination. And I just love Jean Ann so much. And I'm so lucky that she lives here now.
Oh, does she live in Chicago? Yes, because
when we made the podcast, she lived in Portland, and then she moved here. And she has an autoimmune disease, which keeps her pretty pretty quiet now. But I get to visit her all the time, and you know, she just doesn't want to do podcasts anymore, which I respect. Except
it was fun.
It was really fun. And now we just go to lunch.
Yeah, and now she's and now she's got me.
No, she gave us her full blessing. She made our first intro, which I thought was really cute. And anyways, awesome. It's totally awesome. All right. Back to the outline. Okay. Let's see here. We want you to describe your garden to us.
Yeah. Tell us what your, well, first of all, can we talk about how you started gardening? Were you gardening from the womb?
Well, I know my grandparents were gardeners, and my mother was a passable gardener, but my father used to always, you know, dig up her gardens for other projects, you know what I mean? And so I became a gardener because my parents always did put in a very small, unproductive vegetable garden every year.
Did you say non-productive?
Unproductive?
Unproductive. Incredibly unproductive, yes. Because they had these, you know, they had lofty ambitions like many of us do. They had a little area tilled up. They planted their seeds, and then that was the only care they ever gave it.
Yeah.
You know, but
they, wait. I was like, are you supposed to do more than that?
No,
normal.
That is actually probably normal. You know, this is long before raised beds were a thing. Yeah. So, you know, so yeah, it wasn't that productive, but the older I got, like when I was probably 8 or 9, I realized I was a fussy eater. You know, I ate very few vegetables, and I realized that the beans and in Canada, we grow yellow beans. Okay. Wax beans are like, they're a maritime thing here in my maritime provinces. And, you know, they tasted so much better from the garden. The potatoes tasted better. And it kind of drew me in, you know, but I did go off to university and get a degree in history and English before I realized, sitting in a very boring French history class one day, that I could actually study horticulture. It never occurred to me before. So I finished that degree, and then I headed off and studied horticulture.
I love that story. It's very similar to my own, except the maritime thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
That might be more dramatic than my switch, because I started out in math in college and switched to horticulture.
Oh, yikes. Yeah. You're smart then. Yeah.
No, apparently I wasn't smart enough.
You know, but I mean, I loved it. And, you know, so by the time I started horticulture, I was already a couple years older than everybody else. But I loved it. And you realize this is what you're meant to do.
That's
right?
The thing. Yeah.
It was amazing. So yeah, it took me a whole first degree and a whole bunch of money first, but I got there eventually.
And how much land are you working on?
We got about just shy of an acre, and we are technically in Halifax.
I pictured so much
kind of like
bigger.
In the burbs. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, you know,
she's
no,
all about productive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about growing a lot of food in a small space. I kind of got early on to the intensive gardening thing, where I'm interplanting more than one crop in the same space, you know, for different purposes. And the raised beds really intensified that, but I'm all about doing less work. Like, I don't spend that much time in the garden. You know, there's days and days I don't go up there. I don't have to do a lot of weeding. I just find if you plant smart and you know, don't let weeds go to seed and things, you'll have fewer problems in the long run.
I agree with all of that. Nice. Of course. I mean, yeah,
because the biggest question I'm asked is, how much time do you spend up there? And I'm like, oh, I haven't been up since last Tuesday.
I think people are looking for an excuse to talk themselves out of doing what they want to do even before they do it.
True.
So they want you to say, I weed all day, every day, and my life is a complete wasteland because I do this. Because, I mean, people are looking for an excuse to not do this. So, I mean, I am like your parents. I go out there and spread some seeds, and then I start eating that stuff when it happens. I don't do, exactly. And I don't even grow things in straight lines sometimes. Sometimes I'm just out there. I broadcast beet seeds this year in a huge area, and I'm like, I got 3,000 beets. I don't care if they're not in a row. It doesn't really matter. There's thousands of beets. It's amazing how easy it can be.
Yeah.
There's really no reason to have the excuses.
It's true. And I mean, you know, so many people are, as you know, growing food nowadays. When it started, like the whole sort of trend reemerged in 2008, I thought, gosh, finally, I get to talk about what I really want to talk about. But because before that, I was talking about flowers and shrubs and trees and lawns and everything. Oh, yeah. I mean, vegetable gardening has always been my thing, but most people just didn't want to hear it.
You know? I think we talked about this one, but I had so much rum when I met you. I've always been growing vegetables, but I've never talked about that because I'm like, so many people are talking about vegetables and doing it better than I am. I'm just going to shut my yap about it. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah. I mean, like for me, it wasn't a big thing. Like I would give talks and stuff and I was doing for newspapers and magazines and I had the radio show at that point, but nobody really, so we wouldn't focus on food gardening that much.
My goodness.
And then it just swung that pendulum and it just became the thing to talk about. And I'm like, all right, you know what? This is going to be my thing. It always was my thing, but I'm just going to make it part of what I do now because it's all I want to talk about anyway, really.
That's crazy. Okay. So, you have kids.
I do. I don't generally know talk
no
about
you, I'm not asking
post,
you to like
they go on my book
to, like give us
but
their social security numbers
we don't have those, we're Canadian, right?
That too. Well, that helps because
so I couldn't if I
but,
wanted
but
to
but you've been doing all of this yeah, while you're also a mom.
I am, yeah. I have an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Wait, which one is 15? Is it a boy or girl?
The 15-year-old's a girl and the 18-year-old's a boy.
Yeah, I have a teenage girl right now and I'm starting a support group for mothers of teenage girls.
You know, so far mine really good and it freaks me out a little bit. Like my boy's off to university, you know, he's off in his first year, but yeah, the girl yeah, it's a different challenge. Yeah. But it's kind of fun.
It is fun.
I think she's too much like me, so that's weird.
It is weird and delightful at the same time. And you have a dog?
Indeed. I don't
oh you
dog,
don't
so that's
I thought you said you did. Oh, so you were out
no,
there just walking like a Canadian.
I literally was just walking for myself.
Let's talk about this. Why don't you have a dog?
I should have a dog based on the amount of deer I have, but you know, it got to the point where, you know, once your kids,
no, I get it. I do.
Once your kids get out of diapers and stuff, I don't want to clean up anybody else's poop.
It's true.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the dog, if I got a dog, it would have been for the kids, but let's be honest, the dog bonds to the mom. Generally,
yes.
The person
who's doing the feeding, the walking, the all that.
In our case, the dad.
And, you know, we lead. Yeah. And you know, in the summer times, especially, you know, we're off and we're by the water. So we have boats. And we're off in our boat all the time, or we're doing this or that. And you can't always take a dog with you. I didn't think it was, we don't have the lifestyle where I could have a dog. So I didn't think it was responsible to get a dog.
Cats are so much easier.
So much easier.
I don't have a cat because I really don't like cats, but.
This is the host of allergies as well for my family and my kids. Yeah. So yeah, there's no cats. We can't do that, unfortunately. Yeah.
I'm that person who will end up, you know, eaten alive by my pets someday. And but I will say this,
I can't argue with that actually based on your Facebook post.
No, absolutely. I have to say though, I have so little pest issues outside because I always have a dog with me, and there is a payoff in that. And whenever I teach classes, people, there's always someone who raises their hand and say, what do you do about deer? And I'm like, well, a Doberman will take care of that.
See, my dog is the garden pest.
I can, you know, generally there's 4 or 5 deer, the same ones, of course, that walk through my property every day. You know, so I do have an electric fence around my vegetable garden. And anything I grow in my landscape has to be deer resistant, or I just don't have to love it that much. So, yeah.
We're going to talk about deer, I think, you and I separately, because I've learned some deer. I'm like a deer whisperer.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I don't have deer.
I'm sorry,
I'll just drop that bomb.
Right there. That's a book.
Yeah,
I'll just drop the bomb that I don't have deer.
You're lucky.
Really?
That's weird. Do you want some?
Well, I don't often have deer. We do, but they always travel on a path. And if you disrupt the path, they're so stupid.
Yes.
That they just will stop coming to your house. You just have to, you know, figure out a way. And then, anyway, well, I'm getting off the path here. Anyways.
We could go for hours on this topic.
Yeah, I
could
talk about deer.
Tell you.
I feel like I'm like a deer psychologist. It's beautiful.
Well, I used to have next door neighbors, and they, you know, once I put my garden in, you know, she was a gardener too, so she wanted a little vegetable garden, and he built a lovely one for her. And then every morning he would go outside and pee around the perimeter of it to prevent the deer from going. And I'd be like, this is my morning view now.
Oh my God.
Didn't work.
It's hilarious. No, anyway. But it was amusing. It makes for a good story.
Indeed. Yes.
Okay. So what were your favorite things you grew in 2019?
Oh my God. Well, again, book photography year.
Yes.
But of course I love my beans. You know, I started off eating beans and getting me into gardening. I still love to grow them. I have bean tunnels in my garden, with like 5 or 6 varieties of beautiful beans in every color that hang down. So I still love that. I love all the heirloom tomatoes. I did grow a few new varieties this year that I thought were really awesome. Some are like new to me. I do grow a mix of heirlooms, open pollinated and hybrids. Because you know, certain times you want a hybrid, it's going to be more disease resistant. It's going to produce a bigger harvest, or there's so many great reasons to grow hybrids, but I mix it up because a lot of the heirlooms have that flavor you just can't beat.
Yeah.
So I'm always, cause people always say, you know, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about hybrids. A lot of people,
I agree,
you know,
but I also, whenever I grow hybrids, those are the ones I give other people. I'm all about the heirlooms.
Oh, I grow. I mean, it's probably 70% heirlooms, 30% hybrids at this point, I would say, in my garden. And mainly it's also, I'm always testing varieties, you know, to see what grows well. And, you know, if it earns a place in our family vegetable garden the following year, I know it's something that is really special.
Which ones earned that spot this year?
Oh, my God. There was a really nice tomato Posano that was a really beautiful variety. I know Michelle sent me some incredible varieties this year, too. Some of the basils you sent me were out of this world. And even the nasturtiums and things, they did so well for me. You know, some of the different tomatoes. The cucumbers, I think this was a cucumber year. I grew too many, which, you know, I think I probably had 20 plants. Is that too many?
That's a lot.
for a family of four.
Did I send you Lisboa cucumber?
Okay, Lisboa is a new family favorite. Okay.
Isn't it incredible?
There's no other word for it. I grew it in the garden and I grew it in my polytunnel. And
this is parthenocarpic, so it didn't need bees. Yeah. Exactly. And it just produces like crazy.
It's the last one we harvested, and we finished them up in, it was early November. Yeah, so it's only a couple weeks since we had our last cucumber, Lisboa. And that was, that's definitely a grow again, is what we call it.
That cucumber blew me away.
Definitely. Yeah, it was amazing. So my vegetable garden is a mix of lots and lots of food plants, but also lots of flowers and lots of herbs as well. I love to grow it all. Love to grow it all.
I had never grown cinnamon basil before this year. And I have to tell you, I just have dreams of cinnamon basil now. It is like the most important thing I've ever grown in my life. Like, for years I was like, God, well, what do you do with cinnamon basil? It's neither cinnamony or basil-y. Like, you can't, like, you don't want to throw it on spaghetti or, you know, like it's sweet. So
what
and
did you do with it?
I mean, weird.
What did you do?
Yeah. Tea.
Well, I made tea out of it, which is nice, but I made these cinnamon basil shortbread cookies that I think they shouldn't have even made it to the oven. The dough alone.
Are you posting that with this podcast, that recipe?
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Need to post that recipe.
And the cookies didn't turn out that great because I should have dried the basil out at least a little bit. There was too much moisture. But, the first time is you're baking something new is, you know, the dough alone was what heaven tastes like. Like, if you're a cookie dough person, and I'm like a dough person.
I'm in.
So did you take like a sugar cookie dough and just put the basil in?
It was shortbread. It was a shortbread.
Yeah.
I love shortbread. So it was just like creamed sugar with butter.
Yeah.
And then cinnamon basil. And it was like tears, like happy little tears. They were butter tears. They were oily little butter tears.
Perfect. Well, speaking of herbal cookies, I have a recipe that I've been making for years that uses sage. It's an apricot sage cornmeal cookie.
Really?
Oh my God, we should want that.
Yeah,
I want to eat that right now.
It is incredible. Yeah, you chop up dried apricots and you take the sage from the garden, and they're like crunchy because of the cornmeal, and they're the best cookies ever.
Okay,
so
I need that too.
We'll share that one.
Yeah, I need that. I feel like I have to share a cookie recipe now, but I'm not that exciting. I'm just like, you know.
We need an herbal cookie recipe.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to
get on it.
You don't have an arugula beet cookie recipe just at your fingertips?
That sounds pretty good, actually.
It does.
It's like you throw some walnuts in there, God, and it could be fabulous.
Awesome.
Earthy cookies.
Yeah, so good. I'm into shortbread makes a great savory cookie.
It does.
Yeah.
Rosemary shortbread is really good.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you could do, I mean, there's, I just believe in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Basil, and I'm glad you mentioned basil too, because it is I can't live without it. It's my go-to, and I probably grow at least a dozen varieties every year. And you know, we don't have, I know mildew is becoming a problem, downy mildew across lots of parts of the U.S. and parts of Canada. hasn't really arrived here too much yet. But I'm certainly trying out lots of varieties that seem to be resistant to it. But they're so good. I love basil so much.
Hey, Nikki, do you do corn?
I do sometimes. Not every year, but for my kids, yeah, they love it.
Did you do glass gem?
I did like glass gem last year, and it was unbelievably a knockout. And I mean, it was so beautiful. I wanted to sleep with it at night and just cuddle it. It was just so beautiful.
I've become that. I remember when I was a kid and I would go someplace with my grandma and they would like start talking to the checkout lady about something like, oh yeah, my hair. I've become that lady about glass gem corn.
You know, you should make earrings out of those pods and wear them. Or
I could. You can't. No, so you know, if you soak the kernels overnight, you can thread them with a needle and make necklaces and earrings. I'm going to send you a set.
Are you?
I'm gonna
you make did you some that?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you just figure that out?
God. No. Well, I mean, it's like common knowledge. You can do that with corn. What? Why can't you do it with glass gem corn?
Obviously not. I didn't
like...
know that.
That's amazing.
Very. Hey, again, Americans. Illinois. No, Illinois is like the corn, like a major corn producer. Art. So this is like what we learn when we're little here. We learn corn art. All That's the things so you can do cool. with ornamental corn.
Oh my God. I grew country gentleman.
Oh,
this
you
year.
Did. Yeah, we're going to carry that next year. We're very excited.
Are
yeah.
you? It is such a sexy corn, okay? The fact that all the kernels are just haphazardly scattered. Yeah. It's incredible. So, and it's quite tasty. It's a nice sweet white corn.
But it's not super sweet, you know, right? It's not like the super sweet corns. Yes. It's more like a traditional corn like a super taste, sweet corn. Right?
Yes. Yeah. And I just feel like if I'm going to grow something in the garden, I want to grow something that either is going to taste like incredible and blow my mind, or something you just can't buy locally, you know? So we don't grow your regular things you'll find at the farmer's market or grocery store.
Yeah. That's perfect. 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 Yeah. Can you talk about what you're going to grow in 2020, or is this all protected because you are doing a book shoot?
No, I mean, 2020, I can grow whatever I want.
Well, it's just going on right now. I get it. Yes. I get it.
We just have one more shoot left. We've already done like 5 shoots.
Excellent.
One more left. I can grow whatever I
feel
want
like there's
in 2020.
Nothing you haven't grown. Is there anything that you haven't grown that you're going to grow this year?
You know, I haven't honestly, I haven't had a chance to start my wish list. I don't really, I mean, you know, with the holidays and everything, I don't really get crazy about
until
it
January.
Until January.
Same here.
1st.
Same.
Yeah. And let me tell you, this is me. So once January 1st hits, I get my seed catalogs. That's all I freaking think about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
If I'm in the grocery store and I run into an old friend, all I want to ask them is what they want to grow in 2020. Like that's all I can talk about is what seeds I want to grow in varieties. So I'm a terrible person to talk to anytime through January, February.
Yeah. Not for us.
It's just all about seeds.
Single-minded. Now we're going to have, now we're going to have you back on.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Okay. So what are the weird, what is the weirdest veggie you've ever grown?
Oh my gosh. I guess that depends on your definition of weird. A lot of people think the gourds I grow are pretty weird, and they're always surprised when I say, yeah, you can eat them. Like I grew the ash gourds this year, and some of them got to be like 30 plus pounds.
What?
I literally have them outside right now. At the top of my garden, just sitting on top of some straw bales, rotting away because the insides rot. You know, we did eat them throughout the season, but then it's a hard shell gourd. Then the hard shell outside dries, and you can keep these for obviously years and years, make things out of them. I'm hoping to make a couple bowls or baskets. But I also love snake gourds. You know, there's a lot of cool gourds to grow to eat. Loofah gourds, like loofah.
Can you grow that?
I don't know how you say it. Oh, yeah, I can grow
I've
that.
I've struggled with that because it doesn't, I mean,
it needs. It's one of those things, you know, sometimes you have a hot, dry summer. That's awesome. This summer, not hot and dry. Didn't do
right,
awesome.
And they take a lot of space.
They can. Oh, my God. Well, I have a section of my garden that is it was mulched for my greenhouse. It was cleared and mulched and it didn't fit my greenhouse. So it's just this end of the garden that's big and empty. So I put like 8 or 9 half rotten straw bales at one end mixed with manure. And then I plant my squash and gourds in that, and they just take over the whole area all summer. So it's perfect.
I ask you about a weird veggie that I've never grown or tasted? Salsify. Have you grown salsify?
I have. It's been a couple of years. I grew that. I mean, I've probably grown that.
Is that how you say it?
Over the
I think
that's why I say it.
Does it really taste like oysters though?
Salsify. Yeah, and do you like oysters?
No, not really.
Is that the right answer?
Right?
No, I don't.
Like to me. My husband likes it. I'm not a huge fan of it, which is why I don't grow it
that
much.
Well, I've heard that it tastes like a cross between oysters and artichokes.
Fishy taste. I've never got the artichoke flavor, and I grow artichokes. I have artichokes to harvest now in the greenhouse still. I got a heated greenhouse. I have a couple left in the garden. But, yeah, no, I don't get the artichoke from that. I get an oystery
fishy kind of flavor from it, and it's not my thing.
You're really selling this, ladies. You're really selling
this. This sounds gross.
It's so good if you love oysters.
It's great if you like plants that taste like sea life. Okay, yes,
right? Like that's weird.
So
no?
next question, Nikki, you have a plant named after you.
I do, actually. There's a I kind of forgot. Yeah, there's a daylily named after me. One of our Nova Scotia seems like a haven for daylily breeders. They grow so well here. You know, they're easy to grow, and there's some talented folks here. And one of them, Alan Banks from Harbor Breezes, named his daylily after me a couple of years ago. Every year, he names them after somebody who's made contributions to horticulture in the Maritimes, and he named one after me.
Is it growing in your yard?
It is. I have three of them, and they are so beautiful.
What does it look like?
They are.
Oh my god! It's a daylily. I mean, it's beautiful, but yeah, it's sort of like a peachy with a dark burgundy like edge, and it's rustly, and each one is probably like 8 or 9 inches across. It's huge. It's gorgeous. Yeah, and it's Nikki Jabor.
Now I want a Nikki Jabor growing in my yard.
It doesn't talk back though, and it's not very sarcastic. It's not totally true to form. So whatever.
If you could create any strain of vegetable that would just be like this amazing, perfect, like what would be the thing that you would do if you could just magic it? Like,
what's your dream?
I think most people say tomato because that is obviously the most popular garden vegetable out there, sort of thing.
How would it be different?
You know, I don't know. I think I'd go for something that's like a cross between a couple different kinds of vegetables, you know? Like maybe, there's too many options, really. You know, I'm trying to think, what do I love the most? And I'm like, well, there's 40 things I love the most. You know, I mean, the things I eat the most, I guess, would be the salad greens and the herbs and, tomatoes and the cucumbers. I don't know. It would probably be some sort of crazy giant tomato that's like some of the ones we grow are very unusual, like the Lebanese mountain. Some of my seeds did come from my husband's original village in the mountains of Lebanon.
Yep. Amazing.
Right. So, I mean, I've shared those obviously with seed companies widely. But yeah, so I don't know. Like to me, growing something that is historical, you know, putting a spin on it, I guess. I don't know. I would say
mine would be like a watermelon that had like, you know, the turkey thing that when you're cooking the turkey and the thing pops up.
The baster. Well, that'd be amazing.
I need a watermelon has a thing that pops up when it's actually done, because man, what heartbreak is growing watermelon.
Cantaloupes, yeah. Watermelons,
see,
mushrooms,
I think,
when you pick them.
I think I would create a giant ground cherry. If I could have ground cherries the size of like an apricot.
You guys are so good. Okay, I want both of those things. Those are my answers. Both
I don't want to do all answers. That work. I want to pick one up and eat one as a snack.
How did I forget about ground cherries? The size of an apple? That would be the best thing you could ever have. Oh my gosh. My mother-in-law is this tiny Lebanese woman whose only mission is to feed you. And you know, she just loves to cook. She's an amazing cook. We're heading down there in about an hour and I'm going to get a giant feast. That's amazing. But ground cherries are not a Lebanese vegetable. She'd never heard of them before.
No one's heard of them
before. Them in the garden.
No one has heard of them.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'd bring her some, and the first time she had one, I thought she was going to cry.
Yeah.
And so now I grow them and I don't even get to eat my ground cherries. She eats them and she takes them and she hides them. Like she won't even share them with her one grandson. You know what I mean? Nobody gets a ground cherry.
Well, how do you describe the taste of a ground cherry?
Happiness, I would say. I usually tell people it's like pineapple-y, vanilla. And when they're perfectly ripe, which is the only time you should eat them, there's hints of butterscotch.
Yeah.
And it's unfreaking believable.
I say it's
amazing.
Between the cherry tomato. I definitely get cherry tomato, like a really sweet cherry tomato, pineapple. What else? Yeah, a little bit of vanilla.
Right?
And something
this
almost
this episode
papaya-ish.
Of Garden Girls brought to you by Maserati and ground cherries.
Oh, Maserati. Imagine combining those things.
A ground cherry the size of a Maserati.
Oh, my God.
You can drive.
Can you imagine? It'd be so sweet. Built-in snacks. But a lot of people argue with me, like, because there's different types of, you know, tomato cousins. You've got the ground cherries, Cape gooseberries, and a lot of people confuse those two because depending what country you're in, the names are interchangeable.
Yeah, those stupid pesky common names. Yeah, I know. It's annoying, yeah. Right? And they don't taste the same at all. So a lot of people say, I've had, you know, grand cherries. They're not that sweet. And I'm like, you're not having grand cherries. You're having Cape gooseberries.
Well, and there's also, like, you see them at grocery stores now with, like, very misleading names. Like, they're
Inca
so...
Inca berries.
Or Happy Berries. Yeah. Or, like, hey. You know, like, how they've done cuties. At how they've marketing taken, spins. Like, a mandarin and named it cuties. Now I see ground cherries marketed as, like, pure joy berries. I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm eating. I have no idea.
You know, I have to say my ultimate job ever would have been a namer to name things.
Oh, I always wanted to name cars and nail polish.
Oh my God.
Every once in a while, growers will contact me and ask me to help them name stuff. Different.
Are you
different? Yeah. They're like, you're really good at naming things. I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. Hashtag no shit, Sherlock. And it's like, I've had a couple different people to contact. Like, hey, can you just, and then like, what's the payoff? Nothing. Because they never choose what I, you know, or that, do I know? Do I know
that case? It has to be called Amanda Thompson.
Right. Hashtag no shit, Sherlock. Okay. So favorite ornamental.
You're going to name everything for me. Sorry. I'm just still thinking about how perfect you are. I mean, I thought I was good at this, but I realize now.
No, you are. No, you definitely are. I like alliteration. No. I like it. Okay. Favorite ornament. We all like a beautiful vegetable.
Yes.
What's your favorite?
Yeah. And there's so many gorgeous vegetables. Oh my God. Yes. And you know, I actually thought when I started my Instagram that people aren't going to want to see.
No, I think
the vegetables I grow. But and it's so exciting. And this morning, right before I chatted with you guys, I ran out and I was slicing open my watermelon radishes
to post
on Instagram.
So pretty.
And you know, at some point I should tell you about my first Instagram injury, but we don't have to talk about that. it's the danger is real.
No, we do got to make talk about it right now.
Yeah. But sorry, you said ornamentals, beautiful ornamentals. Yes. Well, oh my God, like you don't mean ornamental vegetables, you mean ornamentals that I grow
ornamental, like what's a beautiful yes. Okay.
Okay. There's so many options, right? I mean, Michelle knows. I love my nasturtiums with a weird passion that's probably not healthy.
You know I'm sending you a purple nasturtium next year, right?
Wait, you're sending that to me too, right?
Yes, I am.
No, just me.
I knew it. I'm like, she already got the cucumber. I didn't. I'm already jealous over here.
I will send you the cucumber.
Oh, you didn't get that?
I will send it to you.
I feel special now.
No, it pushes the boundaries of purple.
Only if you get Amanda to name it. Amanda has to name it, okay?
It's already
named.
Then
I want it. Oh, damn it. So nasturtiums are unfreaking believable. I love them. But, I grow lots of ornamentals in my food garden. It's probably 80-85% vegetable herbs and then 15-20% flowers. Just because they bring in so many pollinators and beneficial insects. And I learned that from Jessica Walliser years ago.
Yes.
And it changed the health of my garden dramatically. I have very few pests, knock on something woody somewhere.
It
makes a difference. And that's just the simple science behind it. Because I'm all about the science. I'm not one of those people who's, you know, planting by the stages of the moon necessarily. I am growing based on science and, you know, it works.
It does. It absolutely does. We're trying to wrap this up so we can get you out to lunch. Can you grow indoor plants?
Can I? I love that question. I can. And I sometimes do. Like, okay, for a long time, this was a host of children and not just my own, but nieces, nephews. And I had one in particular that loved to eat anything.
Oh, no.
So I did get rid of my plants for a while. And now that she's 15, I'm back to plants. And you know, the kids like plants, my daughter in particular, you know how popular they are with the teenagers and the millennials. They love them. So yeah, I'm back to growing host plants. I don't do it well because I don't love them as much as I should, but I do and I don't. You know, I'm growing lots of herbs indoors. My basement right now, grow lights, it's just shoots and microgreens right now. My windowsill is herbs in the kitchen, but I do have a lot of indoor plants as well. But I do know our light isn't adequate enough to really, you know, a lot of the
succulents growing
and things don't do that well.
Yeah.
I mean, they buy them. Put them in the windowsill.
They take a long time to die. So there's that. You get to enjoy them for a while.
There's a lot of festering. Right.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. We're killing plants slowly. So yeah, I grow indoor
plants. There's a lot of gardeners who can't grow indoor plants at all. So,
like me. Yeah.
I wasn't going to.
I'm neglectful. Yeah, I'm very neglectful with my indoor plants in terms of watering and things. So I actually have to set phone reminders every couple of days to say, hey, check your plants. Down.
And everyone should.
Otherwise, that would work.
They should. Listen, my phone reminds me of everything. So
same. Yeah. Same girl. Okay.
Thank goodness.
You are just so damn cute. What do you wear in the garden?
Because what I wear in the garden is not what I wear in my Instagram picture.
I know that. That's what we want. We want the, like, we're not asking for Polaroids, so you can be really.
it depends on the time of year. Right now, like, you know, I am going to do some work in the garden later. I'm going to wear fleece pants because it cold. Yeah. Right. And I'm wearing a thick jacket, but usually I'm wearing a hoodie, a hand-me-down from my children, you know, with, you know, whatever appropriate bottoms are, depending on the temperature, shorts or fleeces or jeans. I'm a jean girl.
Do you have fleece-lined jeans?
I don't. And now I do need them, yes, obviously. But yeah, no, I don't. So, and I mean, it's constant. Cause like, I mean, with a chopped up life as you have, when you've got a million things on the go, you know, I'll go work in the garden an hour in the morning. Then you come in and you change, cause you have to run to the grocery store, do a meeting. And then you go back to the garden. So you change again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes I change 5 times a day just so I can get gardening done.
Gardening has the offshoot of lots of laundry.
Oh, lots of laundry. And yeah, but you know what? I love it when I'm out there and my hands are, you know, I'm shoveling manure, I'm planting seeds, I'm pulling weeds. I love it. Here's a question though. Are you guys glove girls or no gloves?
It depends. No simple
answer.
That was on our
list of questions. I know. You scooped us.
What can I say?
It's all about the rapid fire round.
Yeah. We're coming up to
our rapid fire round.
I wasn't a glove girl when I was younger. Yeah. And the older I get, the more I am obsessed.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah, the older I get, the more I wear them.
Yeah, I need fox gloves. I had those once and they were amazing, and now I don't have them anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm sad.
I can't. I love them so much. I can't ever find them. I wear them like I'm so happy to wear them, and then I put them someplace. And so now I have several pairs of fox gloves just kind of, I don't know where, but I just love them. And I tend to get injured more now because I'm old and vitamin D deficient.
I also used to garden barefoot, believe it or not, when I worked for an herb farm in Nantucket Island. It was sandy there, so it wasn't as bad as doing it here, but I gardened barefoot for an entire season, and I would never do that now.
No, I have terrible nails. People say to me, oh, are you really a gardener? And I just hold up my shoulder. Like, oh, never mind. Yikes. They back away slowly. So I should probably wear gloves more often, I guess.
Yeah. I don't always, but especially like if I'm going to be raking or digging, I'll get something with padded, you know, so I don't get blisters. Yeah. And then I love the fox gloves for reading now and then. And then I have a lot of prickly pear.
Oh,
so yeah, I'm always looking for something that's going to protect me from those, because the glochids are just the worst.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready for rapid fire round?
Rapid fire.
Don't think too hard.
Just answer the question.
Don't think too hard.
Listen, it's Sunday morning. There's no thinking.
Okay. Kale or spinach?
Spinach.
Michelle?
Wow. Okay, keep going.
I love them both.
What about next one?
No,
I don't. You kale or spinach?
Kale.
Kale. Me too. Okay.
I guess we're done.
Yeah. I think it's more versatile. You can cook it. You can eat it raw. I love it.
Next one.
I know, but
ground cherries or cherry tomatoes? Duh.
Oh, that's easy.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Ground cherries.
Okay. Garden gloves. No garden gloves. We already did. Big
hat. Or thunder.
Sorry.
Big hat or sunscreen?
Both. Yeah. Oh. Unless I'm in an age where I'm going to get wrinkles.
See, I'm
Michelle,
neither.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm neither.
Listen.
Michelle, big hat or sunscreen?
Neither.
I
went to the dermatologist probably 15 years ago, and she said, you're out all the time, and if you don't start wearing sunscreen, SPF 60 every day, you're going to be wrinkled. I wear SPF 60.
I only garden in the evenings and sometimes on the weekends, and I'm stuck at a desk inside the rest of the time. So I get sunlight at like hour clips like once a week. So
yeah,
I just,
and you know what
there.
I'm even buying this, you can buy sleeves now.
Yes,
like SPF sleeves.
I need those.
I haven't gotten them yet, but I'm gonna order some just because it's smart. If you're gonna be out in the garden all the time, protect your skin.
And you know, last year my doctor, I did a blood test, my vitamin D levels were so low, he's like, I don't really believe that you're a gardener. And I'm like, well, I'm out there like covered from head to toe. So it's interesting how that works. Okay. Fleece or wool?
Fleece, I guess. I prefer wool, honestly, but I don't have much of it.
Ditto.
I seem to have a lot of fleece, so I guess I'm fleece.
Thrift store wool for me.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, thrift store. We could talk about thrift store all day.
Oh, can we?
Oh, my God.
Episode 2.
Yes.
Coffee or tea?
Tea. 24/7 all the
Me
time.
Too.
I never stop.
You guys are so
I'm not
cute.
Thinking about tea.
What kind of tea?
I'm thinking about my next cup of tea.
What kind of tea?
You know, generally like an English breakfast, a black tea. I'm a black tea.
Milk and a little caffeinated.
Milk and sugar or straight?
A tiny bit of milk.
Oh,
I mean, we're Canadian. It's very like British, so you have to have a little.
It's kind of like British light,
right? We're very
but you're coffee, right, Amanda?
Oh yeah, so much. Yeah. Yes, so much.
I even I
did yeah. That. Yeah. I worked I was a Starbucks manager when I was like 19.
Oh, yeah. Really? Mm-hmm.
God, back, no, so, we didn't even get think Starbucks of this. I'm like 120 years old. This is back in the 90s, like very early 90s. Like I remember.
I think we're the same age, my friend.
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're.
I think I'm a little.
So
older,
I can remember watching 90210 after my shifts at Starbucks. So,
and now you okay. do that again.
Yes, totally. I might go back to work at Starbucks. Okay, that's next, terrifying. I'm eager to hear the answer to this: clear or brown booze.
I actually don't drink.
You don't drink at all?
I don't.
I love it.
I'm being judged.
No, that's great.
I never have.
I think it's great. Are you kidding?
It's amazing. It saved so much money for seeds. It came down to booze or seeds, and I chose seeds.
Beautiful.
I'm jealous.
You know, that's a t-shirt, but yeah.
I think it's beautiful. I think it's wonderful.
Lots of something tea. And you know, the funny thing is, when I was a teenager in my 20s, I didn't really get that much flack about it. But now that I'm in my 40s, I get a lot of flack.
Oh, yeah.
About
people are uncomfortable.
Totally. That's weird, and it shouldn't be that way. I'm sorry to hear it.
Not at all.
I think it's something to be commended. And I don't drink nearly as much as I talk about drinking, but that also bothers me. Like why do I have to joke about drinking so much? It doesn't make any sense. Dan doesn't drink at all, so I think it's really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's super cool. And we're very good. I mean, we're Quaker. We're like total goody two shoes. Like, there's no reason. I just have a tiki issue. Anyways.
Yeah. Listen, when we were at that tiki bar, they kept feeding me non-alcoholic tiki drinks, and I think about them all the time. They were so
it's
good.
All right. Okay, so the last good. Two hard-hitting questions. We only have two more, and then you're out of here.
Oh, I have a secret one.
Okay. Of course. I'm not surprised, honestly. Michelle, you and your secrets.
You're all going to make fun of me for it, and you're not going to get
can't
it.
Wait.
And...
No one's going to make fun of you ever, Michelle. You're adorable.
Yeah. Oh, just wait.
Just wait. Agreed. Okay. Hard-hitting. Elastic or scrunchie?
Elastic. If I was 15, like my daughter, it'd be scrunchy, but I'm allowed.
My daughter came home with a scrunchie. I was horrified. Back. And I was like trying to explain to her what Sex in the City was. Like, she's 8, you know?
No, scrunchies are back. You can't be a Visco girl unless you have a scrunchie.
The fact I even know what a Visco girl is amazing. My daughter's a sewer. So my daughter sews vintage clothes. You know, she like gets the thrift clothes and makes scrunchies out of everything.
That's
cute.
There's a lot of industrious. I wonder where she gets her industriousness.
I can't sew a damn stitch.
My husband
so it's not
sews
for me.
My daughter's scrunchies.
That's so cute.
Oh, I know.
He just is the best.
I
love it. Okay. Do you bring your own grocery bag or do you recycle your plastic bags?
Both, but mostly, honestly, single-use plastics have been banned in Nova Scotia.
In Connecticut, too.
That's excellent.
There you go. Yeah, so it hasn't really kicked in so much yet, but generally, I bring my own bags. But, you know, if I happen to go somewhere and they give you a plastic bag, we recycle them.
Fabulous. Michelle, what's your secret run?
Yeah. Oh, Patrick Stewart or William Shatner?
Patrick Stewart.
What am I, an
animal? Agreed. Agreed.
God, I love you.
And listen, William Shatner's Canadian, okay? I love him. But honestly, I'm more of a Doctor Who girl. So.
Oh, my God.
But That's allowed. I'm a Whovian. Yeah, so sorry.
So that wraps up another fantastic... I wish it didn't have to wrap up ever, but
that sucks, honestly.
This is it.
Really sucks.
But
this has been the most fun I've ever had.
Yay. So much. ever had. She's ever. A little ever. Diplomatic, a little. thank you so much for joining us, Nikki.
Thank you, Nikki.
I love you guys so much.
We love you too.
I mean, I have endless amounts of admiration. So thank you so much for including me in this, my favorite podcast.
Yay.
Yay.
All right.
We'll have you back soon. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.